God, as we open your word, have thine own way. Help us to open our hearts that you would have permission to be the potter as we are the clay. Forgive us when we resist how you mold and shape our lives. Forgive us for thinking we are unusable, waste. Forgive us for wanting answers why you have allowed cracks and flaws in this pot. We come to you this morning in the name of Jesus, and we say, have your way. Even if it hurts, even if it's uncomfortable, we need your fatherly hands to break us and shape us, even if that means starting over from a lump. We need you to have your way. We thank you that that's possible through Jesus and through your Spirit, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're in James chapter 5. James 5, last couple of verses. It's good to hear you over there. Don't you worry about that, okay? We're on the same page? All right. We're going to try and open the nursery in about 2 weeks. That's the game plan, opening it in 2 weeks. Had good response from my first wave of nursery workers, so we're going to roll with that. I get distracted by my Bible. Has anybody ever seen my Bible? It's got all kinds of fancy artwork in it. Like sometimes if you're like, wow, that's a dramatic pause. He's really praying. No, I'm just reading something else. I'm easily distracted. I need to get... It's like a Bible with study notes. You ever get so busy reading the study notes, you forget where you were when you're reading or something? You're like sidetracked. My daily Bible reading Bible has to have no study notes. I'm learning my preaching Bible needs to not have any fancy artwork. Easily distracted. Ugh. Two verses. Maybe that'll help me stay on track. James 5, 19 and 20. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So this morning we are talking about wanderers. Let's begin with some simple definitions. Clarification. Brothers, this is obviously addressed to the church family. Each of these letters would be copied and sent to the next church family, traditionally house churches. And as the churches grew, they might use a different building. They might build their own building. But it's to a particular localized congregation of organized believers. And he has some instructions. Church family, here's what I need you to do. Now there's a comma there, my brothers. If anyone among you. You get that? My church family, if someone among you, and there's a slight deviation there. He doesn't say, my brothers, if one of you wanders away. It could include that, but it's also general enough to show you that he understands that you can be close to God and not be right with God. That you can be among the church people and not be part of the church people. Like you can be on the church rolls and still not be a part of Jesus' body, the church. My brothers, if anyone among you wander. My first impression of wander is kind of a lackadaisical, strolling through the park, carefree mentality, but it's a little more pointed than that. It means to go astray, to get off course, and here's where the definition gets interesting. To be deceived and to be misled. So it's not just this carefree idea of like, oh, I just kind of, what are you doing? No, I'm not just wandering around. It's actually in reference to what you're walking away from more than describing how you're walking. You're wandering. You're roaming from truth. That means if you're not heading towards the truth, you are heading into sin. This is not a simple misstep off the narrow road. This is a 180-degree turn, walking away from Jesus, wandering away from Jesus, stepping away from Jesus because you've been deceived or you've been misled. And that makes it very serious. By using the word wandering, it may seem like it's gradual or small or light. But verse 20 says, this is about saving a soul from death. An unchecked wanderer is headed towards eternal death. That doesn't sound very light to me. It may look light because it's wandering and it's slow and it's gradual, but it is the exact opposite way that God wants you to go, away from truth. Truth! Jesus is emphatic in John 14:6. He is the truth. If you're wandering away from the truth, you are wandering away from Jesus. That's about as serious as it gets. Not just contemplating Jesus, not just questioning Jesus, but walking away from him, wandering in the opposite direction. People do not simply pursue alternative faith. Alternative philosophies. It is a bold-faced rejection of Jesus. This is a salvation issue with eternal consequences. Let him know that whoever brings back, that's the goal. The goal is not just bring back into a building. It's bring back to the truth. Bring back to Jesus. Being a part of the body of Christ. That's the goal. Being an active member of the body of Jesus Christ. Just being among the church is not good enough. Coming, showing up, participating. That's never the goal. Being a face in the crowd. You can be about as deep as some of these every other row people in the crowd. Some people's faith is cardboard thin. Because they just watch and they're not actively involved in the body of Christ. As we saw last week, that involves praying on a level that is uncomfortable. It means you have a personal prayer life, you call upon elder prayer, and you have community prayer life with the whole church, confessing your sins to one another. Yeah! I've never seen a church that had that over the doorway, right? It's like going to all the world, the mission, you're entering the mission field, it's all evangelistic. Maybe coming in, it should say, confess your sins now. Because that's the attitude of being part of a body. It's being integrated and woven together. And when people walk away, it is a red flag that they were not connected to the body. And it's a problem. So what's the goal? Bring them back. Well, how do I do that? Whose job is it? All the brothers. My brothers. You who are still part of the active church. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Bring them back. Well, that's hard. Yes. That's a tall order and a heavy task. Well, I What if they have a lot of questions? It's not your job to answer all their questions. But I don't know what's going on in their life. You don't have to know what's going on in their life. Here's the secret recipe. Love plus time plus Jesus. You need to love them enough. Love your neighbor. You need to love them enough to make contact first. And then you need to love them enough to give them your time. Probing questions, meals, coffee together, phone calls, emails, texts. That takes time. That's how we show love. We give them our time and attention. And then Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We use Jesus' words. You don't have to be eloquent. You can simply ask somebody, hey, what's Jesus doing in your life today? I'm missing you. See what their response is, because their response is going to reveal a lot. Like, I haven't really been, Jesus has been good to me. He's provided for my family, he's provided my job, my health. Like, what has he done for you? If they can't actively articulate what Jesus has done for them, it will show you there is no Jesus there. But you may find they're just discouraged. You may find they just need a pat on the back. They need somebody to pray with them. They need to confess their sins. And so love and time and Jesus is really all you need to take into every relationship when you're pursuing somebody who's hurting. When you're pursuing somebody, what if they're angry with me? What if they have a beef with the church? Love, time, Jesus. Jesus talks a lot about anger. Jesus talks a lot about repentance. Jesus talks a lot about loving God. Go those places. You don't have to be a clinical psychologist to help people. You need to love them. You need to give them your time. And you need to get better at bringing up Jesus. And let me step back for just a second, because this is a command to pursue somebody who's wandering away from the truth. As a church, we have behind us the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is Matthew 22. Love God, love other people. The Great Commission is in Matthew 28. Go make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe everything that Jesus has taught us. So, replicating our faith, spreading, growing. We always have those behind us. What does that mean? We love God, we love other people, and we have an evangelistic attitude to share Jesus with everybody. That's the backdrop. But at the end of this letter, James is getting really narrow, and he says, church folk, don't write each other off. If somebody wanders away from the truth, we have an added command to be on alert and watch for when people that we used to hang out with at church, worship next to at church, go to youth group with, go to small group Bible study with. We have an added command here to try and bring them back. James is asking us to target people who seemed close to Jesus, but who are now wandering away from Jesus. Not just wandering away from church. Not just wandering away from fellowship. There are seasons of life when people are hurting and they just need some time alone. Okay, if you're pursuing somebody and they express that to you, we have to be okay with that. What James is talking about, however, is people who seem close to Jesus but aren't in Jesus. This is, next blank, this is not someone who was a Christian and then lost their salvation. This is somebody who is close but not in. Hear me out. Does this even sound like a born-again Christian? Wanders from Jesus? Sinner? Soul bound for death? Full of a multitude of sins? You can be a carnal Christian and maybe be pursuing some sin. Maybe be wandering away from Jesus. But nowhere else in the Bible is this series of words used to describe a child of God. Actively wandering from Jesus, a sinner, bound for death, full of a multitude of sins. James is addressing how we, brothers and sisters, should deal with false converts. Write that down. This is about false converts. People who think they are converted to Christianity, but are not. People we think are Christians, but they are not. James, first century church, he is keenly aware that not everyone who professes to be a Christian really is a Christian. What is going on here? The same thing that's always been going on. Esau grew up in a family that had a rich spiritual heritage. And he sold it and gave it all away for a bowl of soup. Didn't value it. Wandered away from being a child of Abraham, basically. Judas spent meal after meal, night after night with Jesus himself. Judas, who anointed and healed people. Judas, who saw all Jesus' miracles firsthand. Judas, close, but not in. Perfect illustration of false conversion. He was so close to Jesus that when Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me," nobody at the dinner table said, "Judas." They would rather doubt their own faith than question Judas's faith. And yet, he was not saved. If those guys can miss it, you can miss it. You can miss it with people in your own family. You can miss it with your kids. You can definitely miss it with people at church. You can miss it all over the place. James is addressing this because this is a real life church issue that people will wander away from the faith. They're wandering away from Jesus. And he says, don't count them out. Don't write them off. You have a responsibility to try to bring them back. Not just bring them back to church. Bring them back to the truth. They were close to it. Oh, they were close. They may have thought they were a Christian. They may have made a profession of faith. They may have even been baptized. But long term, they never had a streak or a life of faithfulness. A false convert does not love their neighbor consistently. A false convert loves the ways of the world. It's music, it's movies, food, social classes, a works-based mentality, celebrities. And I didn't say a false convert likes them. I mean, a false convert identifies with them completely. Oh, I have to, I'm all in. They make it, the ways of the world, their biggest attraction. They can't live without their phone, their electronics. There's something in their life they love more than Jesus. A false convert loves people who love them. A false convert is more concerned with politics than evangelism. A false convert is more concerned with archaeology of the Bible than Jesus. Is more concerned with different versions of the Bible than with Jesus. A false convert can be more concerned about end time prophecy than loving their neighbor. They can latch on to a lot of different things and miss Jesus. And look like they're really involved or really into this Christian thing. And they will for a while until something goes wrong. Until somebody gets cancer. Until they are sick. Until they lose a spouse. Until they lose a child. Until they lose their job. When this world starts putting the hurt on them, suffering and pain, they wander away from Jesus because Jesus is no longer meeting their needs. instead of Jesus being their need, they're expecting Jesus to meet their need. Do you see that difference? It's subtle, and it's in the church. A lot of people come to Jesus because they think he's a genie, poof, out of this book in order to make them happy. I'm reading about a Jesus who said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome the world. If they've beaten the master of the house, how much more are they going to detest the servants? That's the Jesus I'm reading. He's pretty upfront that he wasn't there to heal everybody and make them happy by meeting their needs. Jesus is out to make you happy in his Father, with God, in a relationship that will last for eternity. False conversion is a deceptive thing. And to put it most bluntly, a false convert does not treasure Jesus above all things. And over time, it shows. They love other things, even their own kids, more. They're willing to make sacrifices for their family or for their work more than they are for God. And that is an American thing, but it's a universal thing. It happens all over the place. So when we see church people wander away from Jesus, we need to reach out and seek to show these wanderers the same thing. Their need to repent, their need to confess sins, and their need to have Jesus as their Lord. Those are big things to be reminded about. These are big things you need to be reminded about. Weekly, in the songs that we sing, have your way. Like, do you really mean that? Could you? Oh, when you lose your job, oh, when you lose something, that's some soul searching time. It's meant to be. If it hurts you deeply, God is at work. And the best way to remove cancer is either cut it out or poison the whole thing. That makes people sick. That leaves people with scars. That makes people hurt. Yeah. Well, if you've got something deep in your heart that is black and killing you, your love for the world, your love of self, and God is going to perform surgery, it's going to hurt. But it is worth it. We go through so much pain. Just go into the dentist. You ever had a root canal? Can I get a witness? Anybody here ever had a, you got one over, you got a root canal, you got a root canal. Oh, give me a root canal, root canal, root canal. Nobody over here has had a root canal. Y'all are, okay, thank you. We got a couple honest people in the back row. Root canal. Don't sign me up. Been there, done that. Got blood on the t-shirt. But I haven't had pain there since. There was a lot of grief and a lot of insanity. I don't do well on narcotics, by the way. Side note. Took me a long time to recover from that. I was loopy. I'll get out. But it goes away. When God works on you, it's going to hurt. But the eternal pain goes away. The hopelessness goes away. That's what he's really aiming after, your heart. When culture, society, and everyday suffering pressures a false convert, they wander away from Jesus. When culture, society, or everyday sufferings pressure the false convert, they end up wandering away from Jesus. And get this. This whole book, James has been arguing the opposite. I used to think these two verses were just kind of random thoughts he had at the end. You know, let's just throw those in there. This is a good reminder. But this is a summary of the whole book. When you think about it, see, when most people suffer They react. And if you're a Christian, you run to God. And if you're not a Christian, you run away from God. This book, James has been saying, what are you supposed to do in your sufferings? Rejoice! Wow. That's the theme of the book, how to handle suffering. And at the end of the book, he deals with people who couldn't handle the suffering and wandered away. Church, we're not supposed to forget about them. We're supposed to pursue them. In the name of Jesus. We are supposed to rejoice in our suffering. We're supposed to make our faith work even when we are suffering. We're supposed to draw near to God as we suffer. We're supposed to be patient with each other as we suffer. We're supposed to bring our desperate suffering prayers to God personally, with our elders, and with our church family and the people. When you don't do these things in the book of James, you are wandering away from God. These are not optional to Pastor James. He is saying do these things because he knows if you do these things, you're keeping the faith. You're going to make progress. You're going to grow in your faith. You're going to mature. You're going to overcome because you're staying close to Jesus. And it's not you that's overcoming. It's Jesus overcoming. You're simply tapping into what he's already said. He is winning. Nothing can stop the love of God, the power of God, faith in God. But when somebody wanders, it's revealing to all of us that they don't have faith. As long as you are here, we are going to assume the best of you. But as soon as you walk away, we also have to assume the worst. When you're here, we assume you're in Christ. And when you walk away, we don't want to just treat it lightly. We need to treat it as this is life or death. You're wandering and we're concerned and we're going to follow up. So can you think of someone who has wandered? Who can you call this week? We are missing a lot of people because of quarantining. Follow up. Make some phone calls this week. Text somebody, email somebody, check up on one another. And here's how I want you to do it specifically. Ask one another about what can I pray with over you. Ask people about their Bible reading. And ask people about Jesus. Love, time, Jesus. And listen to what they say about Jesus. Listen to how they talk about Jesus. Ask each other about family members who have wandered from the truth. You'll probably find somebody who can identify with somebody in your family and pray for each other. Pray deeply for each other. Enlist some help. Follow up on some people who used to be members here that you haven't seen in a very long time. Regardless of the circumstances of why they left or why you think they left, follow up. You may find when you follow up that they are active and holy in another church. Amen. What a blessing to hear. I don't have to worry about that anymore. You may find they are lonely and depressed. Invite them back. Now you're inviting them back to church, but is that our mission? No. We're inviting them back to Jesus. We're asking them about Jesus. That's the deeper commitment. That fixes the false convert. It's not about what you can get from God. It's about getting God. Grace is still available. Love your neighbors enough to offer grace one more time. Look for wanderers. And what about you this morning? Maybe you're the wanderer. Or about to be. Is your faith rooted and a relationship with God? Did you answer that in your head? Is your faith rooted in a relationship with God? Okay, I'm about to test that. Do you pray daily? You pray for other people daily. Do you read and meditate God's word daily? Do you interact with other believers regularly? Have you ever asked an elder to pray over you when you needed it? Are you disconnected? It might look like you're connected, but maybe you know your heart. Come back. Come back. That's the invitation. Come back. You don't have to wander. Your heart doesn't have to be lost. You don't have to let your soul continue to be bound for eternal death. God is speaking to you this morning in James, and he says, come back. There's grace. There's enough forgiveness, whatever you've done. However far away your heart is, if you feel like you're going through the motions, come back. Come back to Jesus. He wants to be the greatest treasure of your life. Did you know Jesus is not as interested in your day-to-day suffering as you are? Jesus is not as interested in your day-to-day suffering as you are. Jesus is mostly interested in the status of your soul, whether or not there's going to be eternal suffering. And when you are in Jesus and you don't have to worry about eternal suffering anymore, here's something neat that happens. You won't be as interested in your day-to-day suffering as you used to be. It changes everything. The very same pressure that causes a false convert to check out and walk away from God, the very same pressure causes the Christian to sink their roots deeper into Jesus and reach their leaves and their branches closer to heaven. Not walk away, but stand and search for living water that will quench their soul. Don't love this world too much. It'll let you down. Don't think Jesus is out just to make you happy. He's out to make you happy with God. Happy in God. Not just happy with what God gives you. That's a consumer, materialistic, minded, false conversion. I'm coming to God so I can get out of hell. That's not why we go to God. We go to God because He is heaven. It's not as much a place as it is a person who's going to welcome us, forgive us, and love us like we need. You see the difference? You need to. In Christ, I have learned to be content. In Christ, I have learned to rejoice in my suffering. In Christ, I have learned that faith works through suffering. In Christ, I have learned patience in all situations. In Christ, I have learned to control my tongue, love my neighbor, and humble myself. In Christ, I have learned to pray and confess my sins. In Christ, I have learned that God wants wanderers to come back to Jesus, and that is the book of James. How to suffer well. If you suffer and you continue to suffer, go back and reread this book until you feel like God's got this. He's always had it. And now He wants you to get it. Pray with me. As the musicians come up and as you close your eyes and pray to God, I want you to ask yourself, where am I today? God, am I where I need to be, or am I a wanderer? Am I about to be a wanderer? Am I so fed up with Jesus that I'm about to walk out? God, help me. Help me to see that what I need is Jesus. Wanderer, come back. There's enough grace to cover all of your sin. There's enough grace to remove your doubt. Or maybe you've thought of somebody else. Maybe God has laid some people on your heart who have wandered. Maybe from this church, maybe from your family, maybe from another church, and you're just wondering how they're doing. Follow up on them this week. Make a sacrifice. Give them your love and your time. And give them Jesus. You can't fix them, but Jesus can. God, we come to you and ask you to help us. Help us to see wanderers. Help us to love them. Bring some back. Back to this family, but definitely back to you, Jesus. And for those who feel like they are the wanderer, give them some resolve and some backbone and some spirit to plug in, to put their faith to work, to confess their sins, and to humble themselves and ask for help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with us for this song. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for those who are mailing in your offering. We appreciate you. The rest of you offering plates are by the back door. We appreciate those who have been faithful and sacrificially giving. We are thankful that our future, nearly here, associate pastor is transitioning from Kentucky to Oklahoma in the next week. So pray for Shelby, Haley, and Cooper Maddox as they move. If you know anybody who has a need, let us know. If anybody has a financial need, we want to know about that. A medical need, we want to know about that. We have some resources to help people this month, and we'd like to be available to that. If you have a soul need, comment, message, text us. Come see me after the service and know that we are here to help you draw close to Jesus. I don't always know what that's going to look like, but at least tell us you have a need and we'll help you, point you in the right direction. So now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to Him who is able to keep you blameless in the name of Jesus, may God's grace and peace and truth shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.